So, as you said, my name is Jasmine. I am a organizer. Okay, I'm an organizer. I'm a AmeriCorps Vista with First Defense Legal Aid. I'm also a part of a group called FLY, and I'm also a part of a group called Recharge Genocide. Now, AmeriCorps Vista is like the Peace Corps, and you know, the Peace Corps, they go to other countries and try to end poverty. AmeriCorps, we try to end poverty with domestically, so in America, and there's different levels of poverty and different systems that add to poverty. So we have some people that work on the Juvenile Justice Commission. We have people that work in a women's shelter. We have people that work with law, and that's me. I work with First Defense Legal Aid. We provide people with free lawyers. As soon as you or someone you know is ever arrested or detained, we will come to the station and represent you or them. So if you see somebody in handcuffs or if you yourself is ever in handcuffs in Chicago, you can call us and a lawyer will meet you at the station. We also do Know Your Rights workshops. So let people know the rights that they have when confronted with the police and the rights the police have. The other group I'm a part of is Fearless Leading by the Youth, which is FLY. And the ID Home, which you were talking about, which is the Juvenile Justice Detention Center, we're trying to shut that down and be a restorative justice hub in the actual communities that these people come from. And we're also working on a trauma center campaign because on the south side of Chicago, there are no trauma centers, no level one trauma centers. Only a pediatric, and they only go to 16. So we're trying to force them to open up a trauma center. Because the nearest one is 30 minutes away. So my friend actually got shot in the butt and died because he had to travel so far away just to go get seen. And now what I'm here for today is a recharge genocide. Now we are charging, recharge genocide is recharging the Chicago police of genocide of killing Black youth in Chicago. We have to come up with a report to submit to the United Nations Torture Committee, and that's when we have to get the information. So we got youth hearings, and that's where youth could come and share their stories and encounters that they had with the police. And then we also did stats and statistics as well. And then we had cop watch trainings. So where did this name even come from? In 1951, there was a petition of the Civil Rights Congress, and they sent that to the United Nations, and they charged them with genocide, and it documented 153 racial killings. Now, police violence continues today. This was in 1951, and 2014, we're still dealing with police violence. Colored youth in Chicago are profiled, they're silenced, they're harassed, traumatized, injured, killed, and emotionally scarred. I want to share a story. I'm going to have a few little stories, you know, so you can hear the people voices and not all these numbers, but real people, real situations, and real trauma, as you were mentioning. So this is from a young woman. She said, I was walking down the block of my house, and I saw the police harassing someone that went to my school. I approached them and asked them what's going on. The police said, mind your business, bitch, and go home. I didn't tell anyone because I thought nothing would come about it. That's an example of how they try to silence us. The police are also very persistent, especially in urban communities. They'll ask you to step out the car. They won't find nothing. Now they're under the rug. Now they're in the glove. Now they're all in the seats. Very persistent to try to find something. They are harassers. They are abusive. They do a lot of unwarranted searches. And they let us know, oh, if I'm in an urban community, and I stop someone, chances are I'm going to either find weed or I'm going to get some information on a murder. In New York, they did that, like a stop and frisk. They had contact cards, and they were able to find out of 100 stops, only one got arrested. So that's not working. They also have excessive force, beating, killings, and unaccountable. Very unaccountable. A few little numbers around the unaccountableness. In 2002 through 2008, around 1,500 complaints went out about specific police officers. Only 10 of those police officers got suspensions of up to 1 to 5 days. Out of about 10,000 complaints from 2002 to 2004, only one resulted in suspension. So like I mentioned earlier, the young lady who felt like nothing would be done a lot of people in our communities feel like nothing is going to be done. The police are not actually going to get reprimanded, so why would I even put a report in or a complaint in anyway? And they still have a high number of complaints, even though a lot of people don't report complaints. Now, even though the Chicago Police Department is the second largest police force in the United States, it still fails to satisfy the most basic level required for systematic review of police conduct. Now, in Chicago, we have contact cards, but it fails to give that key information of, was a person stopped involuntarily, were they frisked, and were they arrested? That way we could see the impact of abuse and the impact that abuse have of young people of color. So, in order to charge CPD with genocide, especially to the United Nations, you have to prove it. You just can't go up there and say it. You have to prove torture. You have to prove cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment. We use excessive force, mass arrest, harassment, and abuse, and sexual assault to prove the genocide that is going on within Chicago. And I would like to share a few stories with you all again. So one of the excessive force stories was, it was this guy, and he said he got pulled over. The cops came and pulled him over. They instantly started running. He said he ran, jumped fences. The police car caught up to him, so he stopped and immediately put his hands on the hood. By that time, he said, okay, y'all got me. The officers that were chasing him, one caught up and like tackled him to the ground. And he was like, I'm good, I'm giving up, I'm surrendering. Then the other cop, because he was slower than the other cop, the first cop put him under handcuffs. The second cop finally runs up, and they both start beating his butt, just started beating him up. Now, the second one was, it was this young man, and he was saying he was sitting in a car, and he flamed up his blunt. He said, now, as soon as I flamed up my blunt, here the police go. I know he was mad. As soon as he talked, there was police. So, when the police came, he got the car, and he surrendered. And he was just like, no, because he knew he had to leave. It wasn't an argument about. He said he don't remember nothing else that happened after that. He woke up in jail with 22 stitches, 2 facial fractures, bruised ribs, orbital fracture, and a nasal fracture. And to this day, he cannot speak like he used to speak because his tongue was literally hanging off the thread.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And so some of these police be like, oh, well, you should never run. Your job and training, they train you how to chase people. You have a badge on, so even if you're angry that you have to run, that don't mean you break the law and fought that person that won. You make sure you charge them with resisting arrest. Mass arrest, and I heard you mention it earlier too. 80% of the people that's locked up is black. Out of that 8%, 72% of them are for non-violent crimes. So it's either somebody usually selling drugs or doing drugs. So you either need money or you need help. I'm saying. They don't belong in jail. Now, preliminary hearings. Now, you know they say innocent until proven guilty. If they say that I stole her purse and I say, no, I didn't, I will have to sit in jail until I go in front of a judge. Most preliminary hearings take up to a month just to see whether you are innocent or guilty. You are sitting in jail for a month. People lose school. They lose, he lost his job. He lost school, and he lost that time with his daughter. That was the story that they were sharing. Sexual assault. But remember, you got to prove that there's genocide going on. So these are just some of the stories we shared in our forum. Sexual assault. 15% of young people in the Audi home have reported sexual victimization by adult staff. Now, the nation average is only 10%. So that's ridiculous. I have two stories I'm going to share, and it's around sexual assault. And hold on 1 second. How y'all told about that story? So this is the woman. She said, I was solicited by a police officer who said that if I had sex with him, he wouldn't arrest me. Then, so I did. She had sex with him. Then afterwards, he cuffed me and pressed charges anyway. That's messed up. I'm going to share another small story. I was walking to the bus when the police officer called out and said, "Hey, you, come here, girl, with all that ass." I ignored the comment, unaware of where it was coming from, until he pulled up on me on the curb to block my path in his undercover cop car. He jumped out and yelled, "Didn't you hear me calling you, girl?" I replied simply by saying, "No, my name isn't girl, with all that ass." He got very mad and slapped me, saying I was disrespectful and saying, "Don't you know who I am?" I began to fear him, so I slowly backed away and he ran up and chokeslammed me, saying I assaulted an officer and was under arrest. When people started to come and look, he handcuffed me, placed me in a backseat, and drove away. We stopped at an alley. I realized he wasn't taking me in. He got out the car, came to where I was, and tried to rape me. I really need y'all to understand, these are real people's stories, these are real people trauma, and these are people from all different parts of Chicago. It's not people just from our group, or like only from the South Side, this is from everywhere. Okay. One of the other stories was about trauma, a 15-year-old, about innocent people completely doing nothing, and steady getting harassed. So this is just harassment that the police do every day. Like when one of our workers, he was coming to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so, you know, he walking down the street around 7 something. The police asked him, "Why are you out so early?" Stopped him, frisked him, almost took him to jail. And he was like, I'm going to work. Okay. So I only got 2 minutes, so I'm going to hurry up. So the 15-year-old, he said, "We were playing in the house, playing video games, and we hear it banging on the door. Before we know it, the door is knocked down, and there's 5 special op officers with huge M16s drawn, pointed at us. 3 15-year-olds playing video games. And they tell us to be on the ground. They say if they move, they are going to kill us." And it quotes, "Don't look at me. We'll fucking kill you in a second," pointing their guns at us. Then they didn't find nothing. They let us go. They laugh. They joke with us, apologize, and leave out. And we're sitting there like, what just happened? They tore up the house and they stole money. So this is just the use of deadly force, also proving genocide. I'm going to go through it a little quickly. IPRA is the Independent Police Review Authority, which is ex-police officers, and they even said blacks are 10 times more likely to get shot than white people by the police. Rashad Hughes, a 19-year-old that got killed out west, they will not give his mother an autopsy. They have not given his mother a police report, and they have not given his mother the name of the officer that killed them. And he was shot 5 times. Mike Brown was shot 6 times, and Sean Bell had 50 bullets in his car, all coming from Chicago police guns. Okay, so 146 youth for Twitch was tased the first 6 months of this year. And that's really where Recharge Genocide was born. An organizer, one of his friends, got tased, hit his head, was on concussion, wound up dying in the hospital. And I'm going to share his story real quick before it says 0 minutes. And he was talking about a poem. So that's what I mean by peace. So he's going to write a piece. I'm going to actually skip that. When my friend Dominique Franklin, also known as Damo, died from the police, he was tased about 3 months ago. He was killed for stealing a bottle of liquor. He said, "I couldn't write about it. I started a piece, but then I put it down." He said, "Then a couple days ago, a couple of my friends were arrested by police, and in the process, some of the cops put their guns on us. And I thought, if one of us was killed right there, the same process would just keep happening. And I really got the sense of disempowerment. The same sense I got when I saw Damo in that hospital bed, or saw him in that casket, and I knew there was nothing we could do." At that moment, he felt like there was nothing we could do. He met with a lady named Miriam Cobham. They came together. How can we stop this police violence and accountability? And that's where Recharge Genocide came. Like I said, we already took the group to the United Nations. They came back 2 days ago. We'll get their answer within like 1 or 2 weeks. Recharge Genocide had subcommittees. We had a Twitter team. We had a fundraising team. We had a cop watch team. So if you was on fundraising, that was your only job. Get money. And we got, in 2 months, we got over $20,000. They did their thing. Twitter job. Our job for Twitter, make us trend. So that was all they had to worry about. And my job was top watch. So that's all I had to worry about. Then we meet once a month and put all those pieces together. And that's why Recharge Genocide come as hard as they do. There's no hierarchy, even though a lot of you may say Miriam Cobham, because that's our inner hierarchy. We know to go to her, because y'all can look her up. She's a lovely worker. And, We had our monthly meetings, like I was saying, y'all, for the youth hearings, and then that's how we collected our proof, our goals, and I'll see her right now. One of our goals for them actually going to Geneva, we want a response from the Chicago Police Department on how they're going to handle this situation and how they're going to report this situation that's happened. We want full compensation for those victims' families, for those victims, and for those victims' community. We want the U.S. Department to investigate into CPD's Department of Youth and how they treat the youth. And we also require them to make Chicago Police Department more accountable for the wrong that they have done. And that's my time.